Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends, on this Wednesday. Have you ever been interrogated by someone really pressing you to explain something you did or said, or even something you strongly believe? That can be a deeply troubling experience, especially if your interrogator is relentless in their pressure and arousing doubt in the minds of all who hear you. Let's rejoin what is sometimes called the Jerusalem Council, as recorded by Dr. Luke in Acts chapter 15. Paul and Barnabas had come from Syrian Antioch, accompanied by some Gentiles from the Antioch church who were followers of Jesus in that great multi-ethnic, multicultural city. You'll recall it was there, in Syrian Antioch, not Jerusalem, that the followers of Jesus were first called Christians, according to Acts chapter 11. In this historic meeting, it didn't take long for the gauntlet to be laid down by those disputing the gospel as presented by the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses, they said, Acts chapter 15. While many had evidently gathered to watch this pivotal meeting, it was the apostles and elders who sequestered to debate the question, according to Acts 15 verse 6. Those Luke calls apostles would of course have been the 11 disciples Jesus had chosen, plus probably Matthias, whom they had selected to replace Judas, according to Acts chapter 1, plus Paul and Barnabas, and then also those selected by the Jerusalem church to be what they called elders, perhaps including James, the half-brother of Jesus, who wrote the little letter we just reviewed. While not among the original 11, this James quickly became a significant leader in the Jerusalem church, and as we'll see in this historic meeting. The Apostle Peter was the first to be quoted by Dr. Luke in this historic meeting, as recorded in Acts 15, verse 7 to 11. Peter declared that God had made it clear to Peter that he should take the gospel of Jesus to the Gentiles. Remember that event at the home of Roman centurion Cornelius, as we saw in Acts chapter 10? Peter declared that God did not discriminate between us, Jews, and them, Gentiles, for God purified their hearts by faith in Jesus. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? Acts 15, verse 8 to 10. Peter was right, and they all knew it. While the Circumcision Act was a one-time event which most Jewish families adhered to strictly on the eighth day after the birth of their sons, keeping the laws God had given to Moses was simply impossible. Even the Pharisees of that day were unable to do so flawlessly. Then Peter drew his powerful conclusion. We believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved, just as they are. Acts 15, verse 11. Pause. It's time for an important question for you and me. Is God's salvation of a sinful person accomplished in the same way, and does it result in the same spiritual work of God in their life, regardless of the person's age, or literacy, or skin color, or language preference, or economic class, or education, or even lifestyle? Yes or no? Yes! And are the Amazon jungle-dwelling person who has never been out of the jungle, and the wealthy executive living in the penthouse suite in Manhattan, and the convicted murderer on death row equally condemned for their sinful nature by God to an eternity apart from God? Yes. And are all of them equally saved by God the Father as he applies the atonement death of Jesus Christ to their sin in response to their repentance? Yes. And is the sin cleansing and regenerating work of the Holy Spirit the same in all repentant people as God redeems them from their sin condemnation? Yes, yes, 1,000 times, yes. That is what Peter was boldly proclaiming in the Jerusalem Council on that historic day. Dr. Luke tells us silence came over the group as the profound significance and implications of Peter's bold statement settled in. This was radical. Jews and Gentiles equally accepted by God on the basis only of what Jesus accomplished in his death and resurrection? Wow! Paul and Barnabas then spoke, telling the story of what they had experienced as the Holy Spirit had led them and empowered them to proclaim the gospel of Jesus from Syrian Antioch to Cyprus Island, then Pamphylia and Perga, Pisidian Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and then back again. They told multiple stories of people, mostly Gentiles, whose lives had been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. As they finished, silence again fell in this deeply reflective group. The weight of their meeting was nearly unbearable. They desperately needed to know what God wanted them to do in this decisive moment. As they reflected on the life and teachings of Jesus, I wonder if one word kept resonating in their minds. Whoever. Whoever. And maybe this one famous statement Jesus had made there in Jerusalem, perhaps nearly 30 years before. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John 3:16-17. Finally, James, the half-brother of Jesus, stood to his feet, affirmed Peter's words, and added, "The words of the prophets are in agreement. I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord." Acts 15:13-18. It was obvious James knew his Old Testament well, and James was convinced Jesus Christ was both the long-promised Messiah and Savior for the entire world. So James made one final bold statement. We should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. It's important for us to understand, my friends, that these men were not attempting to define the parameters of a new religion, but rather the truthful application of Jesus' life and his teachings to the problematic questions posed by those who doubted the simplicity and validity of what Jesus taught and accomplished by his life, death, and resurrection. God's salvation by faith through Jesus Christ was intended by God to be made available to every person of every generation in every place. So let's pause right here. History was being made in Jerusalem. Do we understand why it was so historic and significant, especially to the Jews? Do we see what God has done with that decision to include Jews and Gentiles equally into what Jesus called his church? Do we celebrate how that decision has been rolled out to the world in the 2,000 years since? And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.